إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهادي هادي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear respected brothers in Islam, today we will take this opportunity to remind ourselves of some of the usul, some of the founding principles of this blessed Dawah to Salafiyyah, a Dawah, a call which all of us must be upon, which is an obligation upon each and every one of us to follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And He asked us to say this in our Surah Al-Fatiha 17 times a day. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path. And the next verse explained the straight path, the path of those whom You have favored, مِنْ النَّبِيِّينَ وَصِدِّقِينَ والشهداء والصالحين, the path of those four righteous categories of people, the prophet, the truthful ones, the martyrs, and the righteous. And these four categories of people existed in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the prophet, As-Siddiq Abu Bakr, and the shuhada was all the shuhada of who fought in the battles and were killed, and the salihin were all of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we were asking Allah in our prayers to be guided to Sirat al-Mustaqeem, the path of Allah's Messenger and His companions. وَمَنْ يُشَاكِكَ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Brothers, listen very carefully to these usul, these foundations that I'm placing, because in the second half of the khutbah will come the reason why I am placing these foundations. Allah said that whoever contends with the Messenger, after plain clear guidance comes to him, and follows a way other than the believers, we will leave him in the way he has chosen, his end abode will be the hellfire, what an evil journey's end. So we have been ordered by Allah, in this founding principle, to follow Allah, to follow His Messenger, and also to follow the understanding of the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we leave this way, if we abandon the way of following the companions' understanding of this religion, then we will be following our desire. We will fall into innovations. We will fall into calling to other than the way of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah said about that, Allah will leave us in the way of chosen if this is what we choose. Our end abode will be the hellfire, what an evil journey's end. The Sahaba, as we all know, they loved the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than any one of us had ever loved him. They understood what the very word of sacrifice meant for this religion. They understood how important it was to take the knowledge from its source, the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they also knew that they too would be the source for the generations to come after. And this is why they preserved the religion for us. They preserved the ahadith, they preserved the tafsir, the understanding of the Quran, and above all they preserved the aqidah of a Muslim. And they preserved the manhaj of how to revive in Islam. So many generations will come afterwards and see, yes, this is what the Quran says, this is what Allah's Messenger said about how to revive this Islam and what aqidah we should be upon, and this is the way we will follow. There are many ayahs in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we must follow the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا أَعْتَاكُ بَرَسُولَ فَأْخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَاهَا أَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوهُ. And whatever the Messenger gives you, then take it, and work whatever he permits you from, then leave it. In another ayah in the Quran, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحَبِّبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And if you truly love Allah and you love his Messenger, then follow me. Follow the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. يُحِبِّبْكُمُ اللَّهُ, then Allah will love you and he will forgive your sins. Allah is غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. My dear respected brothers in Islam, from the Usul of Dawah Salafiyah is وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold firm, all of you, to the rope of Allah and do not be divided. In many, many times I explained to the brothers to understand this ayah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to remove these particular words from this ayah, the word بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, then the ayah in itself would make perfect sense and would be correct. وَاعْتَصِمُوا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold firm to Allah, hold firm all of you together, be united and do not be divided. But for some reason Allah added, بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and then do not be divided. So what is this حَبْلِ اللَّهِ? This rope of Allah. This rope of Allah is the rope of Tawheed. This rope of Allah is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, with its conditions, with its understanding. This rope of Allah is the contract, the ahd that you have made with Allah. This rope of Allah is a basic aqidah of an Islam. This rope of Allah is the following of the Sunnah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because if it is the Shahada has two parts. One, certification that Allah is our Lord, and the second is the certification that we will follow Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as his messenger. So this is included in the Hadith, the rope of Allah. Where is our understanding of this? When it comes to issues of aqidah, we have become very weak, we have become very unstable, that we will give a platform to somebody who will say about Allah's religion things which Allah not legislated. They will give a platform who will sit and, you know, enjoy the company of people who will speak about Allah's Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a derogative way, by attributing to him those things which he did not say, by attributing to him a manhaj, a methodology which he and his companions are free from, a manhaj, a methodology of division. My dear respected brothers, from the usul, as we mentioned, of this dawah, this beautiful dawah salafiyah, is returning to Allah and his messenger. The ayahs in the Quran and the ahadith which I have mentioned are sufficient to qualify this. And returning to the understanding of the companions, another usul of this beautiful dawah salafiyah, that no sensible, intellectual mind of a Muslim would reject. To return to the understanding of the companions of the Quran and the Sunnah. And the verses of the Quran and the Ahadith I mentioned prior, before this, has sufficed for that also. Referring back to the early generations for clarification. When you are in doubt, when you have confusion in your religion, or you're presented with two paths, then we return to Allah, we return to His messengers, for all in Amri Minkum. When tanazatum fi shay'in, فردوه إلى الله ورسوله وأولي الأمر منكم. And if you differ in anything from amongst you, then return to Allah and His Messenger and those people that are appointed over you. Who are these people appointed over you, brothers? The first of them is the scholars of Al-Islam. These are the leaders of this Ummah. Like the late Sheikh Nasruddin Al-Albani, Rahimullah, Sheikh Abdulaziz Al-Mubaz, Sheikh Al-Utaymeen, and Shaykh Muqbil al-Hajj, rahmahullah, and even the scholars who are alive today, and Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, and many other scholars. This is not the time and the place we need to explain the biography of each and every one of them. However, these are the scholars, these are the people who you have been appointed over that you have to return to if you have difference, if you have issues which concern you, if you are unsure, and if you cannot go to them, then go to those people appointed over you, who have sat with these scholars, who have benefited from these scholars, who understand what these scholars have taught, who read their books, who read their fatawa, who can quote from them. These are the people from the next level of people who you can go to for guidance. There is an ayah in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and if only the people referred their matter of trial, of tribulation, of concern, to those who possess the knowledge, then they would have extracted for them the very answer that they needed. But the ayah goes on, but the opposite applies to us here. When an issue of concern comes, when an issue of difficulty comes, we do not return it to the scholars to extract for us what the true ruling is and what we should do, but rather what we do is, we give fatwa ourselves, and we just get on with it. Or we go to the people who have no previous knowledge, have not studied with the scholars, do not even know Arabic language. They are astray and they're saying others astray. They have a khalal or a gaps in their manhaj, in their aqidah. We go to them and say, teach us, tell us. And then they give fatwa, and they go astray themselves, and we go astray ourselves. Is this not the time when the Prophet ﷺ warned us of? That time will come when the speakers are many and the scholars are few. These scholars will give fatwa, and they will send astray themselves and all those who listen to them. Do you remember the ayah of the Quran? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that that day, Yawm al-Qiyamah, all of you will be carrying your burdens. And the ayah went on to say, and the burdens of those you sent astray. Yes, this dawah, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is no easy matter for anybody to just take on board and do. If the Messenger of Allah said, بَلِّغُ مِنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ, relate from me even if it is one ayah, one verse, one hadith. The scholars explain it to mean that as long as you have the correct interpretation and understanding of it. So how can we now take on board the responsibility to the call to many people, to conferences, to talks, to meetings, to gatherings, yet us ourselves, we don't have the correct knowledge, or we don't have the correct understanding, we don't have access to the ulama, and we totally ignoring those brothers amongst you, with you, who live with you, eat with you, move with you. We're ignoring them, putting them aside, and we're just simply going straight ahead ourselves with our blinkers on, not looking left, not looking right, straight ahead, and that's it. The ends, my dear respected brothers, do not, you know, justify the means in Islam. أقول لكم هذا وأستغفر لي ولكم ولسامي. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم. أما بعد يا إخوان. نقول الحق ولا نخشى لومة اللائم. We will speak the truth and we don't fear the blame of those who blame. You all know this about our masjid, about the dawah, about the shura. You know this about me specifically. We consult the scholars and after consulting the scholars, we speak the truth. And we hope that you will give ears to the truth. And you will pass on my words to those who are not here. Now on Tuesday coming, there is a conference here in Luton in the Quality Hotel. And it's entitled, The New Era in Dawah. We warn you, brothers, not to take part in this. And not to pass these messages on that are going there. The reason being is because amongst them are individuals who have astray in the aqidah of Islam, the Muslim's aqidah, who have got astray in issues of manhaj. And I will only give you two examples today. Whoever wants further elaboration, so you come and see me after Jummah, I'm not moving from here, and you can ask me whatever you like. An issue of aqidah. Every one of us knows, clear in Islam, that it's not permissible for any one of us to take another Muslim out of Islam without making sure that all those things which prohibit you taking him out of Islam have been checked first. And making sure all those things which take him out of Islam actually apply. Yani it's a matter of the scholars, not a matter for you and me. Yet one of these speakers has said clearly that whoever lies, then he is a kafir. So you told a lie today, you are a kafir. He quotes the hadith of the Prophet, I don't know his authenticity, which said that whoever lies is a kafir. This is the manhaj, this is the aqidah of the Khawarij, the first group that split from the Muslims. In the time of Uthman, in the time of Ali. They made takfir, they take people out of Islam based upon sin. Then somebody lied, it's a sin. How can you say he's not a Muslim? What do we say about the ayah of the Quran? The hadith of the Prophet what did it say about the ayah in the Quran? That if two believing parties fight each other, that If two believing parties fought each other, first then fix the affairs between them. So here, Allah's Messenger said, fighting is something believing people can do, and they still remain believers, so they don't become a kafir because of it. Yet, in a hadith in Muslim, which is sahih, he said, سَبَابَ الْمُسْلِمْ فُسُوقُ وَكِتَالُهُ كُفْرٌ. That calling a Muslim name is fusuq, is sin, and fighting him is kufr. So how can it be kufr? That takes you out of the fold of Islam. What the Messenger meant was, it's a kufr lesser, it doesn't take you out of the fold of Islam, but sin, major sin. And that's the meaning of the ayah in the Quran, which I mentioned earlier. If two believing parties fight, then fix the affairs between them. So my dear respected brothers, Allah did not take those people who fought each other out of the fold of Islam. So not every time Allah's Messenger uses the word kufr means the person, the kafir. The speaker who's been invited to this talk, he clearly said that whoever lies, then he is a kafir. It's a major statement. If you want me to read his words after Jummah, I will. That is one aspect of the aqidah of one of the speakers. Let me give you an issue of manhaj of another one of their speakers. My dear respected brothers, after understanding the usools of Dawah Salafiyah, would you say it's permissible for us to unite or at least cease refuting the Sufiyah? Those people who believe in wahdat al-wujud, meaning that everything is one with Allah. You and me are one with Allah. Allah is in my heart, He's in you, He's in me, He's in this stone, He's in this microphone, He's everywhere. We strive hard to become one with Allah. Those who make shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who call to seeking help from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Gawzi Azim, like Nuqal Jilani, like Darbaz and Graves and so on and so forth. And some of the Sufis believe that some of the awliya, or who they perceive as awliya, to be higher than have a higher station than the prophets. Yet one of the speakers said, we must cease and stop refuting the Sufis. For the asool of Dawah Salafiyah is Rad al Mukhalif. Is refuting those opposed to Dawah Salafiyah. Anybody in here doesn't like this, then you need to learn your Salafiyah. Because this is from the founding principle of Dawah Salafiyah. If you take it away, Salafiyah will collapse. We will not allow anybody to come here and sit here and say to us, yes, stop refusing the Breliya, the Sufiyah. Don't speak about their shirk. We leave this to the matter to the ulama. What aspect of the ulama do we need to do we not need to talk about needs of the ulama? That they say Allah is everywhere? That they say we can make dua to other than Allah? These are basic things which every Muslim must know and be warned about and should warn his family from. And we can extend on this. So finally I would say, in the ayah of the Quran, وَاَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَدِّ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold firm to the rope of Allah, all of you together. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And do not be divided. Let us see what the ulama said about do not be divided. They said, quoting another ayah of the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. Those of you who divided their religion into groups and sects, you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have nothing to do with them in the slightest. This Masjid Ghurabah is the Jama'ah. The Jama'ah of Salafiyyah. The Jama'ah which is calling to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and calling the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is an obligation for all of us to unite and be together upon this path. It is not permissible for us to be divided and open up our own masjid, open up our own school, open up our own section of dawah. It is not allowed. This is iftiraq. And Allah said, وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And do not be divided. And yet we are being divided amongst ourselves. Look, Al-Qurtubi, he said, and everyone who innovated and came with that which Allah has not commanded has split from the religion. So anybody who does innovation, or he comes with that which Allah did not command, this person has now split the religion. He is now divided. So those brothers who came with that aspect of aqidah, taking someone out of the fold of Islam for lying, is something which Allah did not come with. Those who sign an agreement saying we will remain silent over the Sufiyah and make unity with them and not make any division with them, they have come with something which Allah didn't come with. So therefore Al-Qurtubi, he said, where Allah said that And hold firm to Allah's love, only be together, and do not be divided. Do not be divided means it's everyone who innovated or came with other than what Allah has commanded. Al-Baghawi, he said, they, those in the ayah of the Quran, and do not be divided. He said about this part of the ayah, they are the people of innovations and desires. Meaning those who split and innovate in the religion. Those who split and innovate. Two separate type of people. Those who innovate are one type of people. Who are mentioned in the ayah of the Quran. Another type of people are those who just split. And a further type of people he mentioned in his words are those who follow their desires. I have a desire to do da'wah. I have a desire to do this, do that, do and so on and so forth. But you split from the jama'ah in the process of doing this, it's causing iftiraq. It's causing disunity. And the end of both will be that people will gather upon du'as that are not calling to doubt the Salafi. Imam Ibn Mubarak, he said that the people of truth, they do not have division amongst them. The people of truth do not have division amongst them. And Imam Shafi'i, he said, splitting is from the particular characteristics of Ahl Bid'ah. So let us not split. Let us be united. Let us be together. Let us consult with one another in all of our affairs. And let us seek the guidance of the ulama in our matters before we speak and before we even do any action. My dear respected brothers in Islam, Imam Bukhari, he said in one of the headings of his chapters, Al-ilm qabla al-qawli wal-amal, that knowledge precedes all speech and all action. So before anybody is going to give out leaflets and call for a talk, seek the knowledge. These speakers, are they all Salafi? Do they have the Aqidah correct? Are they manhaj correct? Are they going to the right akhlaq and manners and so on and so forth? Then move on that front. If you know you don't have this knowledge, then remain silent and seek the people's opinion who have the knowledge. Furthermore, Imam Ibn Mubarak, he said, or one narration from him said, that we never used to ask about the Isnad, the chain of narration, until the fitna came. And when the fitna came, we began to say, name us your men. What does this beautiful statement of Ibn Mubarak mean? It means that up to the point when he was alive, everybody was united upon one path. There was no fitna of division, splitting. There was no fitna of Ash'ara, Mu'tazila, Qadariya, Jahmiya. There was none of this Khawarij and all these deviated sects appearing in that public region where he said what he said. Then he said, but when the fitna came, and that's what he meant was splitting, the ideologies that cut into al-Islam, which are not from it, which Islam is alien from, the Aqidah of the Sha'ira, the Aqidah of the Khawarij and so on and so forth, any matter of splitting, when the fitna came, or when the people started to make up ahadith, lies against the Prophet ﷺ, I think that's specifically what he was referring to, the fabricated hadith began to spread. Then he said, we then said, name us your men. So if anybody came with news, name us your men, name the scholars on the chain of narration. Who are your people going back to the Prophet? And then he said, if the names coincided with Ahl Sunnah, we accepted it. If the names coincided with Ahl Bid'ah, we rejected it. So we say the same thing today. And we have fitna all around us. Name us your men. Who from the scholars of this beautiful dawah have sanctioned such and such a person to do such and such a dawah and action and so on and so forth? If you don't find anybody, then be sincere, be a man, be brave, and say, brother, jazakallah khair, let me help you to become guided rather than help him to misguide others. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us all aright. And I hope that inshallah everybody took my words as a positive note and not a negative note. And Allah knows that all we want is guidance and correctness for this ummah. And before I finish, I will give you one last narration, a very important narration because it's very befitting to many of us in this room. A narration in the time after the Prophet had passed away. A group of people were sitting in three groups outside the masjid of the Prophet, and in the groups, one of them was even saying, put a pebble in the middle and say subhanAllah, and they always put a pebble in the middle and say subhanAllah. Another group, they put a pebble in the middle and say Allahu Akbar, and they always said Allahu Akbar. And the other group put a pebble in the middle and said Allahu Akbar, another adiyah. And they carried on this. Hudayfa ibn Yaman, who was a companion of the Prophet, he saw this and he remained silent. He didn't prohibit evil. He went to the scholar of the time, Ibn Mas'ud, and said to him, Ibn Mas'ud, I've seen something very strange outside the Prophet ﷺ's masjid. Come and see. So Ibn Mas'ud covered his face so he couldn't be seen. He went there. And when he went there, the people, they carried on because there was nobody there that they should be worried about. So they were carrying on. So he could see, have a good look at what they were doing. Then he uncovered his face. And when they saw him, they were amazed. They said, Ibn Mas'ud. And he said, what is this that you are doing? I never saw this in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they said, well, we're only wishing to do good. Very common to those people who give dawah incorrectly. We're only wishing to do good, they say. We want something to do something good. And listen to his reply. His reply was, how many people intend to do good, but they never reach the good? Meaning they never get the ajr in the Yawm al-Qiyamah. And even though they intend it, they don't get nothing out of it. And then he said, that look, utensils of the Prophet ﷺ is still around. What he meant by the utensils, cups and cutlery of the Prophet ﷺ, what he meant was the companions are still around. So if you need to do something good and you want to get close to Allah, then ask us and we'll tell you. Likewise, he said to the brothers, if you need to know how to get close to Allah and how to do dawah, ask us and we'll tell you. And we will quote from the ulama, the scholars. Rather than take on board this heavy, heavy responsibility on your shoulder, which you will have to answer to Yawm al-Qiyamah if people become deviated, if a splitting occurs, if disunity occurs. And we ask Allah to save us all from this evil end.